This is Dr. Mark Rohde with a podcast on having and maintaining boundaries during recovery. This is kind of a Goldilocks issue. Some people have too much closeness in relationships and thus have trouble saying no, while others are in relationships with so much emotional distance that there is little meaningful connection. In very simple terms, these people have a hard time saying yes. We'll encourage you to find a happy medium that is just right in all of your relationships. So what does a relationship with healthy boundaries look like? When we speak about a boundary, it is a limit, a point beyond which you will not go. In order to have good boundaries, you need to have a good deal of self-awareness. Just what do you want in life? What values are important to you? What do you need from a relationship, and what are you willing to provide? Healthy relationships involve a good deal of give and take. You give in order to nourish your relationships, and you accept what others have to offer to have your own emotional and physical needs satisfied. In a healthy relationship, neither person feels like the relationship is unfair. At times you may give more, but there's a willingness on the other person's part to share more when you need more. Neither person feels used, and both feel appreciated. In a relationship with healthy boundaries, things aren't always equal, but it's always okay to talk about any perceived inequality. Understand that the whole idea of appropriate boundaries is absolutely a two-way street. Just as you need to assert your needs, others are apt to be establishing their own boundaries. The healthiest and happiest relationships mutually support and honor each other's limits. If you find that another person continually disrespects your boundaries, you're likely to want to point it out. And you may want to consider if you want to hold on to that relationship if the behavior won't stop. Being in a positive, mutually rewarding relationship sometimes means setting limits on what you will and won't participate in. It is also about letting go. Listen to the voice inside of your head and consider how often you've said something like, "It isn't fair," or "This is really uncomfortable." I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. The usefulness of boundaries applies equally to friendships, neighbors, coworkers, an employer, or family members. Consider what you want to say, rehearse it in your head, and then speak up when an issue arises that's just plain uncomfortable. It is often most powerful if you share your concern in the form of an I message. An I message is an effective way to communicate that starts with the word I and continues to communicate your feelings and thoughts about their behavior. "I felt angry and humiliated when I learned from your sister that you're still seeing your ex-wife. You need to make a choice between the two of us." Many people are fearful that setting a limit will put an end to the relationship or will result in hurt, anger, or disappointment. Most of us are programmed to try to fix poor relationships, but staying in a horrible relationship that fosters a multitude of negative emotions is just self-destructive. Even worse, if you don't set appropriate boundaries, you will continue to amass hurt feelings while sending a message to the other person that their behavior is perfectly okay with me. Think about this. Alone is better than a toxic relationship. It is important to be clear about what you expect when you assert yourself. For example, "Son, I was frustrated you failed to put away my tools after I allowed you to use them. You need to either put them away or I'll lock them up." In the future, don't feel like you have to apologize when you make a reasonable request that your rights be respected. You've got nothing to apologize for. After you set a boundary with someone, regardless of whether it's your best friend, your spouse, or your daughter, don't expect that they will immediately respect the limit that you've set. People tend to be creatures of habit, and it may take a few reminders to have them get the message. Consider saying something like, "You know that I've got my home meeting on Tuesday nights, but you frequently make plans with your friends and then expect me to watch the kids. Can you mark your calendar or something?" You'll have to understand if someone isn't comfortable with the boundary that you've set. That doesn't mean that you've got any obligation to accept what they're saying. Hopefully you can negotiate the issue and you'll both end up feeling safe and comfortable. If someone reacts badly to a boundary that you've set, you might want to question if you're out of line. But it's probably more likely that the problem is with the other person. Don't take the rejection of your boundary too personally. At the start of this podcast, I talked about saying no in some circumstances and saying yes in others. Chances are that your need for treatment was partly a result of not being able to say no to drugs or alcohol, but other choices no doubt led up to that issue. Let's think for a moment about how you might respond to some of these important questions. Do you feel obligated to go along with what others want you to do? Do you think that you need to take care of other people? Do you do most of the giving in a relationship? Is it comfortable for you to turn down a drink? What about marijuana? Cocaine? How about opiates? Can you turn down your boss when he or she gives you more work than you can possibly handle? Can you be firm with your children when they have a poor excuse for not finishing their chores? How often do you feel pressure to say more than you really want to? Here are our suggestions for keeping yourself safe. Consider different ways to say no and mean it. I'd rather not. No way. I mean it. Drop the subject. I'm done. Remember that you're fighting for your own survival. Know that with all of your being. Be more afraid of hurting yourself than bothering the other person. Know that your assertiveness is a matter of respect. It is self-respect. If assertively stating your own needs might put you in danger, talk with your therapist or coach first. Plan your escape, and then get out of danger. Having appropriate boundaries is also about removing some of the limits that you may have put on yourself. While staying isolated may feel safe and may keep you away from temptations, it also fosters boredom, which is a huge crazy risk factor. Think about how you might want to handle these situations and if you might need to open yourself up to more positive social interaction. Could you ask someone out for coffee or lunch? Can you share a bit more deeply with your psychologist? Would you consider joining a volunteer group or do service work at a recovery meeting hall? Would you call your sponsor or coach if you were having a serious bout of cravings? Might you be able to tell someone that they mean a lot to you? Could you call a crisis line if you were feeling really depressed? Here are a few suggestions for those who need fewer boundaries for themselves. If being more social is challenging, start small and build. Be an observer of how other people are social. Picture yourself being social over and over in your head until the picture is very clear. It's called cognitive rehearsal, and it works quite nicely. Set some goals for yourself and then nudge yourself to get out there more. If large recovery meetings are intimidating, ask your sponsor or coach about a smaller meeting. As you become more socially engaged, you've got to know that you'll make some social errors. Simply cut yourself some slack. Okay, that's it. Appropriate boundaries mean setting firm limits on the people and circumstances that could threaten your well-being and your autonomy. But it also means opening yourself up to the people and opportunities that could make your life healthy and awesomely rewarding. Thanks for listening. Go take good care of yourself. Be well.